If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. Yeah. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who is the ghostly guest that one listener sees and hears on their property? And what do they want?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also write in your ghost stories. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com is the website to do just that. And if you like the show, we ask, hey, please help us out and support it. Become an extra podcast person, as we call them, or EPPs. Get a bonus episode of the show every single week, exclusively made for EPPs. You also get all of our shows in advance, months before they're released to the public. All commercial free. You get our archive that is literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories in history. We have created that. It is the largest audio archive of ghost stories ever on this planet. You can have access to it. It's only $5 a month. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And you get access to all of those hours and hours and days and weeks and months and years of content. Binge away on it. And $5 a month to get all of that. And our ebook and our audiobook. We'll give you that too. Basically, you can just be completely surrounded by us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you'll never get bored. It's Tony and Harper on today's episode of the show. How are you this fine day?
Good.
Carol and me determined that the other day, that the amount of hours of content that we have of all the years of doing this show, there's a lot of people who do ghost podcasts, but they're usually like a once a week deal or things of that nature. And some are very good.
We are 24/7,
but we have more in terms of volume, and quality too, in my opinion, but we have, just so many hours of it. I don't think it's existed before. There's plenty of folks that have done shows before us, Art Bell and things of that nature, and kind of created this idea of talking about paranormal things. I'm not taking credit for that, but no one has done this many hours on ghosts. So that's kind of a neat thing.
We finally broke the record. And I feel like my mic is too low.
So you got to sit up a little bit there.
I am
sit on your
up.
Knees.
Okay.
Then you'll, or get a magazine as my, you don't even know what a magazine is.
Yes, I do know what a magazine is.
Yeah. Because when I was a kid, that was kind of used as like the booster seat. If you didn't have something to sit on or you weren't tall enough, oh, just go get the Sears catalog or the JCPenney catalog and you sit on it and that gets you boosted up.
Yeah, it's now.
Now you're better.
Yes.
There you go. You'll grow. You'll get bigger someday. Just enjoy being small. You only get it for so long. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Let's go to our first letter. It says, hey, Tony, Harper, and Carol. My name is Bella. I am 12 years old, and I love your podcast. I have a ghost story to tell. I live in Colorado and have a cat named Chloe. My story starts at night. I love going downstairs in the middle of the night to watch TV. We have two TVs, one in the sunroom and one in the living room. I use the sunroom TV because it's not so close to my parents' room. I was in the room and I turned the TV on. That's when the living room TV turned on. The TVs are both different types. This freaked me out. I just turned the living room TV off. The next night, my cat was staring at one of my cubbies where I had made our cat bed for her. Our other cat, Louise, recently died of kidney disease. Chloe was staring at, growling at the cubby like she did when Louise was around. I told her, it's okay, nothing's there. So I picked her up, tried to put her in the cubby. She growled and hissed, then scratched me multiple times. I hyperventilated. I felt like I was about to faint. I was bleeding on my hands, legs, and arms. It was dripping down my leg. I told my mom that I needed medical assistance because she used to be a laborer at a delivery nurse. She said to go back to bed, and I said, no, I do. Chloe scratched me to death. Many nights after, she still growled and stared at the same spot. Then after about a week of this, she stopped and started growling at her favorite pillow that she lay on. Again, I told her it was okay and nothing was there. Then she looked at me and back at the pillow, and she ran out of the room. About 1 week after, I was playing games on my iPad when my door opened. I expected my dad to be there because he does this sometimes, but there was nothing. Both my parents were downstairs. I could have sworn I latched my door. I always do. Now I just see shadows flying past it in the corner of my eye, and my cat lays in her cubby and on her pillow. I believe what she was growling at was Luis, my dead cat. What do you think? I love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Tell Harper that she's made me laugh when she's on your podcast on the weekend. I hope this makes it on the show, and if it does, it will be a dream come true. Thanks, Bella.
Well, I guess your dream came true.
It's good to be
enthusiastic.
Modest. So maybe that's a trait we should work on a little bit. So thoughts on her story?
Well, never thought I'd hear a story on a dead cat.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I don't know that we've had a lot on the shows that you've been on, but I've had a lot of dead cat stories. And one of the most common things that I hear in dead cat stories is, you know, when the cats do their paw thing back and forth.
Yes.
I have a dead cat story.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Scruff.
Well, no. At Kitty.
Kitty.
I after my cat Kitty died, she used to sleep on my bed when I was a kid. She died when I was about your age. And for years after that, I would wake up and I'd feel like the cat was doing that. My new cat, Murphy, wanted nothing to do with me, so I knew it wasn't Murphy. But I'd sit up and I'd think, oh, at first I thought it was Murphy. Like, oh, she likes me. Nope. Look up. There's no cat there. And it was so weird. Sometimes I'd feel like the cat jumped up on the bed and was laying on the end of the bed. It's a very distinct feeling to have a pet jump up on the bed. It's like, okay, it's the pet. But I had it so many times, and I never connected it to being paranormal until this show. And I don't know why. I guess I always just thought it was in my head. But then hearing so many other people who had a very similar experience, I look back and I think I had a ghost cat for a while, which is kind of neat. I have not slept in that bedroom. It's probably been at least 10 years. Because you girls sleep in my old bedroom when we visit Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah.
So I'm always sleeping in a different bedroom. But I would go back and visit as an adult, at least a young adult in my 20s, and I would stay in that bedroom. And I remember feeling that then, too. So I wonder if you ever feel a cat jump on the bed. Grandma don't got no cats no more.
She should get a cat.
It's either a raccoon broken or it's a ghost cat. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. So another story says, hello, I've been binge listening to your podcast and it keeps reminding me of my past experiences. Here's another one of my experiences I felt like I should write you about. 3 years ago, my husband and children and I moved from another city into my house out of the country. Many, many years ago, my husband's family once owned this house, but it was eventually sold to someone outside of the family. That was not the reason we bought the house. It was a perk. On moving day, we arrive at the house, open the garage door, and we see all these boxes of stuff from the previous family household. As we made our way into the house, you would find all this stuff, pictures, notes, furniture in the cabinets, garage, attic, outside, sheds, everywhere. It was overwhelming, to say the least. to not only move in, but to move the previous owner's stuff out. To our knowledge, the previous homeowner named Marie was an older woman and eventually died. I'm not sure if she died in the house or in a hospital. I'm guessing the adult children who lived out of state took whatever they could find that was valuable and left the rest. As I made my way through Marie's belongings, I'd find very intimate things. Notes from her children, an ID card with her name and picture on it, her clothing, just everything you could imagine. My mother-in-law found Marie's husband's dentures. Her husband's things were there, but from what I'd pieced together, he died first. I feel the need to note their stuff is still in the attic, garage, and sheds. It's just overwhelming, and I'm doing what I can as a full-time employee and mom. I never got a weird feeling from the house. Energy feels great. However, I've experienced things that I just cannot explain. Right around 7 or 8 o'clock p.m., I start to see a mist. Usually walks the same path, starts from one end of the kitchen, and then makes its way through the kitchen to the master room. It becomes more active when it is just the kids and me. Usually when Daddy is away. Seems residual. I've been in the master bedroom before with the door closed, and I'll hear distinctive whistling from behind me. When I turn my head, nothing's there. There's one experience that happened that is a first for me. We had a guest who was coming to stay the weekend with us. That whole week prior, I was going through Marie's belongings and tossing what I did not need, keeping what I thought we could use, and putting things in a sale pile. After purging a bunch of things, my husband went out to play disc golf at our local park. As I was in the kitchen cooking, I saw this most of, and it was more defined. It looked like a real person, and you could see it was about 5 foot tall and had a perm-like hairstyle that was in a perfect circle-like shape. Marie was noticeably a short woman, and from the pictures I've seen, had a perm-like hairstyle. The defined mist made its way on the same path I always see, starts at the end of our counter, and makes its way to the bedroom. Normally, when I see the mist, it's a mist. This was like a defined mist shadow. There was another time I was outside. I was in the dark, and I had to go check my car for something. As I'm looking, I'm getting this odd feeling. My inner alarm bells are going off, but I figured it was because of it being dark out in the middle of the country. I have my iPhone flashlight on, and as I push down my trunk to my car and start to turn, I see this large white mass or mist. I certainly was afraid, and I felt the need to run to my house. I told my husband, and he goes, "Oh yeah, Vicky, who used to live next door, committed suicide." Was it Vicky or Marie? I don't know. Was it my imagination? Could be. I just know the energy was off and it caused me to have my alarm bells go off prior to seeing the mass, or what I thought was a mass. I do continue to see the mist move to this day in our house, but I've not seen anything outside since. Whatever is in the house seems like it's on a schedule and is a non-threatening entity. I honestly believe if it is Marie, she likes me. I found Pyrex and antique collectibles in the house in her collection, and I've just rolled with it and now have an antique theme in my kitchen. I'd like to think she appreciates me using her vision for the house, since I have bought a whole Corel antique dinner set that matches her four-piece Pyrex bowl set and have dishes displayed on the cabinet her husband made in his woodshop shed. I listen to your podcast. Reminds me of other experiences. I'll continue to write as I remember. Tell Harper she's so much fun, such a fun personality, and I enjoy her as your co-host. There you go. You had like two compliments today. That was nice.
Thank you, everybody.
So what do you think about all of the stuff being in that house? I mean, how would you handle that if you got to the house and this person who died, half of their stuff is still there?
Out the trash you go.
Would you keep some? I mean, if some of it was usable, though, and in good shape, you know, like those bowls and stuff?
I'll keep the credit card.
Now, that would be illegal.
I don't care.
Keep the credit card. Not the Pyrex. Just the credit card. But the plastic is what you'd keep. Yeah.
What's the Pyrex?
Those are, it's like a set of bowls and stuff for the kitchen. They're good. They're good when you have them and they work well. But so she was trying to like use some of the former owner's stuff and incorporate it into her life in the house. But I will say this. It does sound like this is probably a residual entity. I don't know that the former owner is really still there consciously, Marie wandering around and doing things. My guess is it's like a loop. It's just playing over and over and over, and she's probably moved on to something else.
What I think of mist, I think of like the rain mist.
Okay.
Like So I can't really tell if it's like fog mist or rain mist.
Well, here's, I mean, either way, when they talk about a mist, it's not like it's just like a fog where it just covers the whole area. It would be like if you just took a little piece out of the fog and it just, more like smoke almost. You know how smoke is just kind of in one area? That's what it would be like.
Like taking a piece of the fog and then just spreading it everywhere.
And then it taking the shape of something.
A woman.
Yeah. And moving in that confined shape. And then eventually just kind of dissipating out. So that in itself would be rather bizarre to see floating through your house, especially if you're not having a campfire in your living room.
Yeah, I would move.
It's not that easy, kid. Sometimes you just got to figure out your ghostly situations.
Fix up the house, out you go.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Tony and Carol and Harper and whoever else you might have. I hope you guys are having a good day and better 2021 than we all did a 2020. I know that times are rough, and yeah, I just wish you guys all the best. I hope that things get better for everybody. I wanted to tell you a couple stories today about what I'm going through right now. I just moved from Oregon to South Carolina to help my father-in-law through some difficult times. And, boy, his house, it's really something. I've called him before. You played one of my stories where I thought maybe it was my dad that was always near me. There's always a presence near me. There's something that follows me around. I made a comment about how, whatever it is also follows me into the shower. So hopefully it's not, maybe I have a couple different things hovering around me. That's never been more true. Whatever it was definitely followed me to South Carolina, at least, one of them did. And there's a few new characters that are possibly dearly departed that have popped up in my life. My father-in-law's soon-to-be ex-wife is a massive hoarder. I've spent the majority of my time in South Carolina helping him clean up the house, helping him get the house safe and in order and getting all the stuff out. And when we first got there, there were things that would go bump in the night, but we could attribute that to something falling off the pile, someone kicking something across the floor. But as I started cleaning up the house and as it got less and less cluttered, it was hard to attribute those noises to something that could be explained away so easily, especially when they happen right in front of you. I have a room upstairs that is now my craft room. I make wreaths and signs and all kinds of fun stuff, and around Christmas time, I was making my Christmas wreath, and I used the little plastic Christmas ornaments when I'm doing that. And one night, I watched them pick up from the table one by one, drop back down on the table, bounce a few times, and roll off the table. That's obviously not something that I can attribute to a hoarder's nest. We also, during Christmas time, had this big Mickey Mouse snow globe out on the table. It's like an electric snow globe. It blows snow up in the air and plays Christmas music. The only way to get it to turn on is to push the button. I know this because I sat there and jiggled it and moved it around and walked around in front of it to make sure there's no motion sensor or way to trigger it by, someone walking across the floor and some vibrations going up and, just whatever. I tried everything. The only way to get this dang thing to turn on is to push the button. I'd be in the kitchen, something would push the button, it would turn on. I'd walk into the living room, I'd push the button, turn it back off, turn my back, and boom, it's back on. Finally, I just unplugged it, and when I unplugged it and turned around, I heard a hissing noise behind me, and I turned around, and it's blowing snow with the power completely off. No way that it should have been doing that, but there we were, and it was. there were a few times where I'd be in either the upstairs or downstairs bathroom painting or cleaning or, you know, doing whatever. And with the door wide open, I would see just flashes of people walking by, but I was the only one home. Nobody should have been walking by the bathroom. Once I looked up while I was scrubbing the bathtub, and there was like a big black figure, like a black figure, but with definition. Like, I could make out facial features, but everything was just black, just shadowy. As soon as I noticed it and looked at it for 2 seconds, it was gone. In the downstairs bathroom painting, I saw a very clear figure of a woman walking by, but she was clear enough that I could tell that her hair was blonde. She was wearing colorful clothing. But it was only, you know, a 2 second window where I saw her. It was so real that I had to walk out of the bathroom and check all the doors and everything in the house to make sure that somebody didn't actually walk in. But nobody did. I hear, you know, whispers, voices. One time I was cleaning out a room upstairs and my partner was with me. And we're just sitting there talking, and the closet door clicks open and swings wide open, and, you know, we're the only two people in the entire house. So that was kind of the first thing that he got to experience. And he's a skeptic, so he just brushes it away. You know, it's nothing to him. He just, something was wrong with the latch or something, but I feel differently. Nothing was wrong with the latch for the first 2 months, so why would something suddenly be wrong with the latch? I've never felt like whatever was there was malicious or angry or was there to harm me in any way. It's just, I don't know what the word for it is. It's just, I guess uncomfortable just feeling like you're watched all the time. So I did try to stage the house, and I splashed holy water everywhere, and just kind of seemed to make the activity ramp up more. I guess maybe I did it wrong, which is always a possibility. I'm gonna have to try that again soon, but I was okay with it not being super effective because, like I said, I never felt like it was there to harm me. Well, one night I was up in my room sleeping. I was the only one home. My partner and my father-in-law were both at work. About anywhere from two to four o'clock in the morning, I was jolted awake by what I didn't know until I opened my eyes, and there was a woman, the same woman, I'm pretty sure, that was the one that was walking by the bathroom. We locked eyes for a minute, and I opened my mouth to say something, something along the lines of who are you, or what do you want? But before I could get any words out of my mouth, she reached out to grab my leg. At the same time she reached out to grab my leg, the door opened, and my partner walked in. The front door opened and he walked in and she disappeared. I know that this was not a dream because there was not a time from, there was not a moment from the time that he opened the front door to the time he got into our room upstairs, that I woke up again, I was just awake. I was awake for the rest of the night. I was awake for the rest of the morning. So I know that's something that really happened, and it was the look on her face when she reached out to grab me. It did not seem like she was grabbing me with kind intent. So I don't know what the deal with that was. I don't know why, you know, everything had been kind of like playful, if not a little obnoxious, for a while, and then turned to some kind of hostility. But that was the only time anything like that had ever happened. Hopefully it stays that way. But if it doesn't, you'll be getting another call. Anyways, that's my story for now. I have a million more for you that I'll call in another time. I hope that you guys are having a good day. I hope that you have a better year, and I hope you stay spooky. Thank you for all that you do.
Thoughts?
Who has holy water on hand?
Well, I got to give her credit for that. Some people do. Particularly, a lot of Catholics do. I grew up around, my dad was Catholic. We didn't have holy water on hand, but I know like my neighbor did. And so in some folks do, especially the older generation, it would have been something that you would have had around. So there you go. But we could order some. I've seen it for sale on Amazon, which is kind of funny.
Remember on Prime Day when we saw Poop Like a Champion on Amazon?
What was that? It was a book or something, wasn't it?
It was cereal.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Seriously, look at it.
No, I'm not going to look it up right now, but okay. Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. But I've been curious because sometimes it's like, I wonder if you can buy that on Amazon. And yeah, there's people that are trying to sell holy water on Amazon. Now, and it looks like, you know, somebody put water in a bottle and slapped a label on it. So I don't know how legit the holy water you buy on Amazon is, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that like to take advantage of folks. So really, technically, anyone could just put some water in a bottle, slap a label and say it's holy water. I also don't know how you would really test that either, unless you're going to, you have a readily available possessed person that you can kind of test that out on and see if it starts sizzling. But yeah, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear it. I think we have a kid listener to our show on this call. Hi, let's hear it. Let's hear a ghost story.
Hi, this is Haley. And when I was little, I had a dream about, well, actually, it wasn't really a dream, but it was sort of like, I think it was a dream, but then again, if like what happens at the end of my story makes it seem like it's real. So I was probably about like 5 or 4, and I woke up, and I was on the top bunk of my bed, and I woke up to the sound of something hitting the bars on my bunk bed. And so I wake up and I see this tall person, all black, but with sort of orange or red eyes. And it was weird because I was little. And so it was just weird. And I had no idea what to do, but for some reason I was so little, so it didn't really confuse me. I don't know why. So for some reason it told me to go down to the bottom bunk. So I did that, and I woke up the next morning and I was asleep on the bottom bunk. And so I went to my parents and asked them, like, were you sleeping? Like, would you tell me to sleep in my bed last night? Because my parents had a history of, for some reason, before they went to bed, they would try to scare me sometimes. They would, like, shake my bed, but that was my parents. So I asked them, I was like, did you, by chance, do that? And they said, no. I asked both of them. They both said no. So that was really weird. I had another story. So when I was about the same age, I had one of those bath time Ariel dolls that could talk, and it ran out of batteries, so my dad took out the batteries, and sometime at random night, it started just going off. It starts talking to Flounder, because it was an Ariel, Disney Ariel doll, and it started talking to Flounder, and I don't know why, but it did. And I got freaked out, so I literally covered myself with a blanket because I thought it would protect me. And it was just weird. But that was my second story. You let me know what you think, and I would really like it if you guys put it on the show. Thank you. This is Haley.
It feels so good to have a kid on the show.
Well, it's our kid-friendly episode, so if you are a child or mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, got one that wants to share a story, we can save those. We can put them here on the weekend edition of the show with Harp. So thoughts on her story?
Well, it's definitely creepy. Oh, wait, you didn't ring the bumpkin. The bumpkin.
The bumpkin? The bunk bed bell?
Yeah.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
But what do you think about that? With the voice saying, go sleep down here, the toy that started running without batteries in it?
Don't listen to ghosts.
So lesson number one is, if a voice tells you to go somewhere that you can't identify where the voice is coming from, maybe don't follow it, or...
No, just straight up do not do it.
Well, here's the thing. I've heard stories where somebody's... In fact, Carol had this once. She was driving... And she heard a voice in her car suddenly tell her to quickly turn or stop. I think it was stop. And she was like just driving along the road and she didn't know what the hell it was, but it disturbed her. Like, what the hell? She stops. Then she was like, okay. Starts going again a little bit later. Up the road, big accident. Had she not heeded that ghostly voice that said stop, she would have likely been up there. She thinks it might have been her dad when she thinks back on kind of the sound of the voice and all that, who had passed away. So, I mean, it's one of those things. It's hard to say. Do you listen to it? Do you not? Maybe there's a reason that the voice is telling you to move to the bottom bunk. Maybe something was, you know, maybe some sort of bug or spider was up there that was going to bite you. And that, you know, as long as you're not like always hearing voices, you know, that's good. But if it's just like, out of the nowhere, it's like, where did this come from? It might be something that's trying to help you, not necessarily hurt you. Because here in the end, nothing happened. She just woke up in the bottom bunk. But maybe there was more to it that she's unaware of.
Yeah, but it's creepy because middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, creepy, yeah.
Voice is telling you to go down to the bottom bunk. You don't know why.
Yeah.
You go down to the bottom bunk. Nothing happened.
Well, nothing happened. She's aware of. I mean, like I said... Maybe there was something up there that could have been harmful to her. And there was some guardian spirit that said, go down to the bottom bunk. You know, who knows? I mean, that, and she'd never know if there was or not. It was just, you know, trying not to scare her enough. But because, I mean, if the voice said, get to the bottom bunk, there's a poisonous spider that'll bite you if you don't, you're going to freak the hell out, you know. But if it's just go to the bottom bunk, okay, I don't know why that won't hurt me, but I guess I will, you know, I don't know.
But you never know. You never know if there's a demon that's trying to manifest you in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that could be a possibility too. So you got to consider all your options and make a wise choice. That is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our program, help us stay on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material, advanced episodes, and a whole heck of a lot more. Ebook, audiobook, it's all there for you. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.